He is the cup that transformation comes in. We are after a presence that changes everything. We want to make this city and this region famous for the presence of the Lord. We want to see worship that redefines
how people think of the Bible Belt.
If we want to reach this region in our area, you know, in this world, whatever, we as a church have got to come together. And it's not just one church that's going to do it. It's going to take us all.
We have a calling that we will change the atmosphere, that we will come against things.
He wants his kingdom to be overlaid in such a powerful way that crime drops, that sickness goes away, and even economically, this whole area can explode in the favor and the presence of God. And we have to ask ourselves, you know, what am I doing to attract the kingdom of heaven? What am I doing that positions me to have something flow through me that transforms the earth around me?
It's to create a path, a clear path for God to come in today, to break through all of that stuff that's been on you all week, to break through all that depression, to break through all that sickness.
What he did on the cross was he provided everything that we need to transform this world. You know, Jesus, when he died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." Let me tell you what, it's not finished for us.
It's just starting.
Welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. My name is Clint and I'm your host. Did you ever notice how some people can only see the problem? It shows up in the way they talk, in the way they write, and even in the way they post to Facebook. But what if a people rose up that became the answer? The truth is that as carriers of the atmosphere of heaven, we bring the power of another world to bear wherever we go. When we walk in the presence of God, we have the ability to change the atmosphere of any situation we walk into. When we carry the presence of God, we change the options of everyone we come into contact with. As children of the King and carriers of the atmosphere of another world, we are commissioned with the responsibility of advancing the kingdom of God in a way that darkness is destroyed and lives are redeemed and transformed. We exist to host his presence until we change the atmosphere over entire cities and regions.
To tear these walls down, we see the desperate people.
Coming up on February 20th, we are hosting the first Unite Worship Gathering in Joplin, Missouri. Unite Worship Gatherings are worship events devoted to an extended period of vertical worship and building community. More details can be found at nextgenworship.com/unite. Also, if you enjoy these podcasts, please share them and also consider giving us a review on iTunes. On this week's podcast, I have a conversation with Jenna Janish. Jenna is the worship pastor at Calvary Chapel Joplin. Jenna is a passionate worshiper and her heart is true gold. Thanks for listening and enjoy my conversation with Jenna Janish.
Fueling leaders of heaven's invasion.
Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in, rushing in. Let the Spirit of the Lord come rushing in, rushing in. Come rushing in.
All right, hey Jenna, how you doing?
I'm good, how are you?
Good, thanks for sitting down with me.
Yeah.
So some people may not know who you are. Why don't you tell us who you are and where you came from and what you're doing?
I am the worship leader at Calvary Chapel of Joplin.
Awesome.
And I've only been doing that for probably about 6 months, but I've been on the worship team since I was 19. So I've been around worship a long time, and it's always been a part of my life.
As
your worship leader, you look back after you kind of catch a glimpse of what God's doing in your life and you're like, oh, I've been doing this my whole life.
but
it's been official for a few months and it's definitely been a growing thing, but
I bet
it's good.
Wow. So how do you lead? Do you lead with an instrument or?
I do. I played acoustic, and my pastor Jeff here is really good about discipling people, and he plays really good guitar. Uh-huh. And he has discipled me in that, and I started with acoustic, and I've moved to electric, and I'm just starting on keys recently. So.
Oh, man, you move fast. That's
yeah.
awesome.
I feel in over my head, but it's been really
that
good.
That part really never changes.
Yeah, I think I'm kind of learning that, but... It's
so, are you from around here, or?
Yes, I grew up in Neosho, lived over near Circoxie, and we live in Dunawig here now. So I've always been in this area.
Oh, that's awesome! And I remember when Calvary Chapel had their location south of town, south yep. of Joplin, quite a few years ago.
Yeah.
And had a little coffee house out there.
Yeah, that's when I started going to.
Yeah, I'm sure a lot of people remember that little hangout.
Yeah, I miss it.
Yeah, it was a really cool vibe. And
yeah.
It was a lot of fun and felt like, you know, there was really nothing like that in Joplin back then. It was just so fun to go hang with.
It was.
People our age and all that.
Yeah, it was a good time.
When do you guys have service over here?
We have a 9 and a 10:50 service in the morning. We have a Wednesday night service. Sometimes it's prayer and worship. Sometimes it's like a devotion time. Sometimes it's small groups, but it's always at 7.
So you're running two services on a Sunday?
Yes, we did that for a long time. We took a break for a little bit, and we just started last week again with the two services. Mm-hmm. So yes.
I know you've got from, you know, when we had that conference last year, you mentioned how interested you were in songwriting.
Yes.
How's that going?
It's going. The main thing that I brought away from that, it's always been a very private thing, obviously. I'm sure that a lot of people who write songs can kind of associate with that. But it's always been a private thing. And ever since that conference, I felt like the Lord was telling me to co-write with my team. And we haven't quite done that yet, but we have been talking about it, and it's nerve-wracking to take something that's intensely personal and kind of put it out there and have other people critique it or add stuff to it or take away from it. So, yes, we are thinking about talking about developing that.
That's awesome. We were having a conversation before we hit record here about revival and how much, and we both have a real similar heart for, you know, anybody that's been touched by God immediately sees and thinks, man, wouldn't it be great if he could do that again to somebody else?
Yeah.
And over and even on a larger scale. And I think that's certainly one of the goals of the worshipers in this area is to see God touch people in a massive way.
Absolutely.
So why don't you share your heart a little bit about that, about, you know, some of the things you're talking with me about, counting the cost and all that.
I think that the Lord has just put kind of that burden on my heart that the people, you know, we're all feeling that sense of something's coming. We're all feeling that, and it's across the board. It's not just, you know, locally. We were out in California with some of my ladies here at a conference, and they were talking about the same thing. Like,
really?
God wants to move. God, you know, like, we sense this, that God can move on a big scale again, like another great awakening sort of movement. And so, you know, I don't think it's... It's confirmation for me that I'm not crazy, you know, like, oh, it other people are feeling this. But for those of us who are feeling it and maybe sensing that God's calling us to be a part of that, it's on my heart to encourage you to just count the cost for that. Mm-hmm. That it's going to cost you personal holiness. It's going to cost you time and attention.
Yeah,
and it's not something to take lightly. It reminds me of the parable of the virgins with the lamps that were waiting for the bridegroom that Jesus was telling, and some of them were ready. They had their lamps ready. They had extra. You know, they were ready to wait for the Lord, and some of them weren't prepared and they missed it.
That's right.
And you know, just because you're feeling this sense of something coming doesn't mean that you can't miss it.
Wow.
And I don't want to miss it, and I don't want us to miss it. I want us to be ready, and you know, it just, I'm trying to think of how I want to say that. I want us to be prepared. We can't be fooling around with sin. We can't be compromising.
Right.
We are, like Ephesians said, we have a high calling. We need to make sure that our lives are in line with that calling. We're to live a holy life. And that's important to me, that we are clean vessels, that we're ready. Yeah. We're empty and we're ready. And another facet of that would be just not necessarily compromise or sin, but distraction.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like if we are filled up with the things of this world, whether it be sports or social media or Netflix, you know, choose your distraction of choice.
Yep.
But if we're filled up with those things, then we have less of a capacity to be filled with the Lord. You know, if we're drinking deeply of the waters of this world, then we're not thirsty for God.
Yeah.
And for those of us who are desiring to lead a movement of worshipers and of people who are turning back to God, we can't be filled with other things. We have to be filled with Him. And an analogy that the Lord put on my heart was, we have a fireplace that we heat our home with.
Uh-huh.
And I was praying about this on a different note, but I was kind of praying about this same vein of thought, and I was watching it in the fireplace. And if you are around fireplaces, you know that some of the wood that's really dry and seasoned, like, catches fire really quickly and it burns really hotly. But if you have like the greener wood that's kind of filled with sap and kind of wet, then it just smolders. It doesn't really burn. It takes a long time to catch fire.
Yeah.
It's not good. And God just spoke to my heart that, you know, the people who are filled with things of this world and filled with the pleasures of this life are like that green firewood.
Yeah.
That they're just going to smolder. They're not going to, it takes a long time to stir up and catch on fire.
Yeah.
But if those of us who are empty and dry and ready for the Lord, you know what I mean? Like, you're feeling that, like,
oh,
I will not be satisfied with anything less.
Right.
And you're dry and you're waiting for Him, that just a spark, and we're going to, you know, we're going to catch fire.
Yeah.
And He just put that on my heart, that we need to be unsatisfied with lesser water. We need to be waiting for that living water. And you know, you can't expect to live like everybody else is living and go where nobody else is going.
Right.
So that's what's on my heart.
That, I think that's fantastic. I was reading a bit of an excerpt of a book by a guy, I don't remember his name now, but he was challenging people that, are you in love with the idea of changing the world, or are you living in a way that's actually going to change the world?
Yeah.
And in today's media-driven society, it's really easy to be fascinated with concepts and ideas without paying a price to actually see something happen.
Yeah, for sure. And also there's a verse in Zechariah that really caught my attention, just in my personal devotions. And God was talking about the false prophets. And there's lots of false prophets in the land. And He was saying, they're saying they have a message from me, but they, you know, they're not speaking for me. I have not talked to them. But what stood out to me was that He said that they had an opportunity to be real prophets. He said, if they would have stood in my presence, if they would have listened to me, I would have given them that message.
Wow.
And, you know, if we, especially of those of us who have the gift of prophecy, it is our responsibility to be in the presence of the Lord continually. Like, we cannot afford to be casual in our approach to the Lord or into listening to Him. We have to be in His presence constantly so that we can hear those messages. Otherwise, we risk, you know, telling people things that aren't really from the Lord. And I don't want to be a false prophet, you know?
Yeah.
Like,
hello.
It's a biggie. They stone people for that. But, you know, that's just, gosh, if we are going to speak God's word into our generation, we have to be listening.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's important.
What do you think is going to happen? What are some dreams that you have in your heart?
Personally, my dream is to be more in love with God than in love with the calling on my life.
Mm,
you know, like, as I catch glimpses of things He might have for me, I love it. But I want my relationship with Him to be first and foremost. I want my worship leading to flow out of a place of being in love with Him, not try to get in love with Him so that my worship leading is blessed.
Yeah,
and I think that worship leader, you know, like, anybody who is serving can probably relate to that. I want to do it well.
Yeah.
You know? And I want to love Him well. And
I
want to get lost in Him. I think that's my dream personally. And on a bigger scale, I want to see my church and the church look like Jesus. I want to see us love like Jesus and go to the outcasts and to stand up for His word. And I want to see us filled with the Holy Spirit and have the power of Jesus. I want us to look like Jesus.
Yeah, that's fantastic.
That's a small dream, right?
Yeah.
But yeah,
awesome.
That's where I'm at.
Jenna, thanks so much for sitting down and talking.
You're very welcome. It's a pleasure.
You've been listening to the Next Gen Worship Podcast. For more information about Next Gen Worship and to listen to other podcast episodes, visit nextgenworship.com.